Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with HR Line of Business Director Norm Anger. And joining us in our conversation is Don Shaw. Norm, another e-government initiative that you've led is the e-payroll initiative. Could you provide some background for our listeners on this program and what's its current status of the payroll provider consolidation and agency migrations?
When I joined the government in 2002, I learned that there were 26 agencies paying the 1.8 million federal employees. Coming from the private sector, where efficiency is very important, I was wondering, why do you have 26 places paying the federal workforce? It turns out that the same question was asked many, many times by OMB and other parts of the federal government. And in effect, this initiative was to consolidate and standardize civilian payroll processing. What happened is, starting in 2002, we've moved forward, and what we've done is we have gone through a process and establishing four of the 26 agencies to be payroll providers, and we are finishing now the consolidation of civilian payroll into those four provider sites. The four are the National Finance Center, which is part of agriculture. It's based in New Orleans. You have the National Business Center, which is part of Interior, based in Denver. You have GSA, which is based in Kansas City. And you have, of course, you have DOD, something called Defense Finance Accounting System Services payroll also. Now, where we are in this process is we now are 85% complete. We now have 1.5 million of the 1.8 million people in the workforce being serviced by these four payroll providers. I think this is a very, very great success in e-government. We've done this in a relatively short space of time, and we've had no significant problems in terms of somebody getting the wrong paycheck or whatever. Let me also add that one of our sites, the National Finance Center in New Orleans, they actually were shut down essentially during Katrina. They were able, through their planning, to be able to operate at other locations. They were able to continue processing pay for roughly 600,000 federal employees, which I think is a real tribute to how robust and how well this e-payroll initiative has progressed. From my point of view, the great success of e-payroll, which has saved large sums of money and led to a more standard and more coherent civilian payroll system, really was one of the main reasons why the government thought of the lines of business. A major part of the lines of business is moving away from stovepipe installations, moving to more sharing and, in effect, offering modern, robust solutions at these service centers.
We know that OPM, GAO, and the OMB are encouraging the link between employee performance, organizational outcome, and pay. How is your office supporting the development of performance-based organizations?
Part of the human resources line of business, we have a task force of 24 agencies that meets every month to talk about direction, progress for the line of business. But in addition to which, we've established something called the Requirements Board. This Requirements Board consists of OPM management, but also we have on the board, for example, we have defense, homeland security, and other parts of the civilian workforce. They are looking at the legislation and requirements that drive information systems. One of the main areas here is compensation management, which deals with payroll and also the various HR systems. What's happening is that they are developing the requirements, which in effect become the IT structures, if you will, that will be running at the federal service centers. What I'm saying here is that we now are, through the HR line of business, we're putting in place the infrastructure. We're putting in place the data centers or the service centers, and also we're putting in place the requirements for the new personnel payroll systems that will run at those centers, and all of that supports the new pay-for-performance systems, which are now being implemented at DOD, the National Security Personnel System, and you have a new system at DHS, Homeland Security, Max HR, and you're also talking about a new system for the rest of the civilian workforce in the Working for America Act. In addition, I said earlier that many aspects of my earlier initiatives, like the e-training and such, are really key to build the competencies necessary for the workforce to perform properly.
Norm, we've been discussing the coming wave of lines of business: human resources, financial management, and grants, and information security. We understand that agencies are planning centralized service providers for these functions. What role does your office have in supporting human resources shared service centers?
When the business case for the HR line of business was finished by my task force, or our task force, in 2004 and delivered to OMB, there were essentially two main recommendations in the business case, one of which was the government should move toward establishing shared service centers that would offer quality, modern systems to support HR professionals that manage the civilian workforce. The second major thrust was there should be more standardization, where it makes sense, in the HR business processes. What happened is that in roughly September of 2004, OMB asked agencies who would like to volunteer to be a federal shared service center, we call it in the HR line of business, namely a provider of these services. At that time, five federal agencies submitted proposals to be these centers. There was a proposal from Defense, proposal from Agriculture, the National Finance Center, proposal from Interior, the National Business Center, a proposal from Health and Human Services, and a proposal from Treasury. OMB reviewed these five proposals, and in February of last year, they announced that from their point of view, from a budgetary and a managerial point of view, they passed the OMB review. They were called candidates. At that point in time, the proposal was turned over to OPM and the HR line of business, and we formed a number of panels, a technical and also an advisory board. And we spent many months analyzing these five proposals. We asked for more information from these five proposed providers. We met with them, et cetera. In September of 2005, the director of OPM, Linda Springer, and OMB announced that these had also passed the criteria, if you will, to be certified by OPM. So in effect, as of September of 2005, you had five established, certified federal shared service centers. And right now, these centers are in business to, in effect, offer agencies solutions, and they're following all the guidelines of the HR line of business, and they're also taking and looking at and moving toward meeting the requirements that we're publishing all the time relative to what they should be offering in terms of modernizing the IT systems that support the federal government. Let me also add that beyond the IT services, they can offer other services also. But essentially, we're looking at moving routine back office type of work from the agencies to these centers.
We understand the human resources line of business is a significant collaborative effort across multiple agencies. How would you characterize this collaboration, and what lessons learned can you share with us?
Well, we established the HRLOB Task Force in March of 2004, and it meets every month. And the task force is very, very active. We have very, very strong participation. The task force, of course, developed the business case for the line of business. The task force reviews all of the requirements we're putting out in terms of what should be offered at our shared service centers. And what we have now, we have established, I think there are four poles to the HR line of business. One is we have the governance structure, which is the task force of 24 agencies with many, many sub-working groups. We also have established a shared service center advisory council, which consists of the four new HR service providers. And also we have on the same council, we have the earlier four payroll providers. So there are nine components there. Then we also have, as part of the task force, we have a group of 11 agencies that represent the voice of the customer. So we have now the governance structure. We have the voice of the customer, which is a part of my task force. They speak for what the customers want, and they'll develop service level agreements and performance metrics whereby they'll say what they want from the service centers. Then we have the voice of the service centers or providers, which is this advisory council I mentioned before. And the last piece, the fourth piece, is we're publishing and making available to both the private sector and the federal government what we want in terms of the modern business systems. We're defining exactly what those systems should do and how they should operate and what their functionality should be. So we're actually telling the private sector and these centers, here's what those systems should do in terms of responsiveness, functionality, and also various performance criteria. So those are the four poles, if you will, of the HRLOB. Now, to answer your question, though, what I've learned from this is that you can never do too much communication. You really have to outreach as much as possible to, in effect, make people understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. I've learned, if you will, it's reinforced what I guess I understood earlier, that you've got to make an effort, go out to meet whoever wants to meet with you in Congress or an agency who wants to know more about what you're doing and why you're doing it, and make the presentations. And in that way, you build the support, which is really critical to moving ahead with these initiatives.
Norm, can you briefly describe the technology that will support the HR line of business solution? Are you planning COTS software, or will custom software development be required?
Well, essentially, the federal government very much wants to learn and use the private sector as much as possible. There's a real movement away from the federal government building its own systems. So a major thrust here will be to, as much as possible, use commercial off-the-shelf software. Wherever possible, turn to the private sector, bring in their commercial software, and contract with them to, in effect, use that software and benefit from all the evolving technology they put into that software. A major thrust also is to use the private sector wherever it makes sense and contract out where it makes sense. And then in terms of technology, it's really no different from what the private sector is facing. You're moving toward XML, Java, moving more and more toward internet-based systems, moving away from the client-server toward the internet-hosted and based systems. In terms of technology, it's really the exact same technology any large American corporation would be looking at and assessing at this point in time.
What does the future hold for the HR line of business? We will ask OPM Director Norm Enger to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.